Ready for the word? Amen. Come on then, Daniel, bring us the word of God and share what the Lord's laid on your heart today. Bless the Lord. Amen. We want to hear Jesus. We want to hear Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That's good. Amen. Well, it's my joy and a pleasure today to be sharing the word of God with you. Wonderful people today. And amen. Thank you very much. And I would really appreciate if you guys listen to the message that I'm bringing as well. It always helps when someone's listening to you when you're speaking. Amen. And last week was great, wasn't it? The presence of God was here. God was really doing something supernatural in each one of the youngsters' lives. And every one of his lives in there, we're young in Christ. Amen. We're all young. There is no age, neither... Neither old, neither young, neither man, neither female. We're all one in Christ. Amen. Amen. Are we here? Amen. 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 I really do believe that God wants to do something greater within each one of his lives. He wants to draw that greatness within each one of his lives. Because all of us, we've got potential. But God doesn't want us to stay in potential. He wants us to fulfill his calling, the calling that he's placed in each one of his lives. And he wants us to grow, amen. He wants us to grow. And I love the moments where we just start worshiping God and God is just there. And we sense the presence of God and we get convicted of everything that's within our lives. And we know the presence of God is here. Can I just say, we live in the presence of God. But let's just not settle for that moment. Because there is more. Amen. Let me say that again. Because there is more. The best is yet to come. We're all going to say that. Come on. One, two, three. The best is yet to come. And I firmly believe that. I believe that we're just scratching the surface. And can you imagine? If this is what it feels like, just scratching the surface. Imagine what it's like on the side of the camp. My goodness. God is preparing us for something great. God is preparing us for something of his greatness. Amen. Amen. And everything that we do, Jesus has to be in the center of his lives. Our ministry, our life, our work, whatever we do, Jesus is the center of everything. So before even I get into my sermon, I just want to pray. I want God to be here. God is already here, but I want our hearts to connect with God because ultimately what I bring will play in words if our hearts aren't connected with God. So can I ask all of us to just bow our heads and close our eyes while I open in prayer? Spirit of living God. God, we need you. God, we need you. Jesus. Father God, we just pray, Lord. Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, and as we open up our hearts, Lord, to your word, I pray, Lord, for greater revelation, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that something supernatural will take place within each one of us lives, Lord. That will help us to grow. That will help us to grow, Lord, in this Christian journey, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as I bring this word, I pray, Lord, help me, O God, Lord, to present your word, Lord. O Spirit of God. I ask you to reveal us your word and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Jesus is good. Amen. He's a good God. And I was speaking to him earlier before our service started and he said to me that, Daniel, the greatest revelation I've had in my life is knowing that God loves me. The greatest revelation each one of us can have in his lives is knowing that God loves us, regardless of whatever's happening in his life. If we're deeply caught up in sin, God still loves us. If we're a holy, righteous person, God still loves us. There is no measure of God. There isn't. He just loves us, and he wants to get closer with us, and he work within his lives, amen, and make us into the man and woman of God he's always wanted us to be. Amen. So if you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Nepali Bible, it's Galatia. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 9 and verse 10. Galati cha no rados. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. This is what he says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let me say that again. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And he goes on to saying that, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good. He's repeating himself. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that challenges me, you know, that verse, being good, regardless of whatever I'm going through right now. It's hard to be nice to people, isn't it? When it's someone that you don't quite connect with. But the word is challenging us to do good regardless of whatever you feel like. Do good, because in us doing good, in the right time, the right season, we will see the harvest of everything that we're doing right now. Whatever we're sowing right now, in the future, we will see the harvest. So it's very important in our lives what we're sowing into our lives right now. Because if we're sowing the best thing of God, guess what? The best things is yet to come. And it will come. Amen. And there's a character in the Bible that I love. And it's Joseph. I love Joseph. I love his attitude. I love his heart towards God. I love his commitment towards the call of God in his life. Joseph, if you ever get a chance, read the story of Joseph. You can find the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. And from that onwards, 40, you can just read about Joseph's lives and all that. And it's just amazing when you look at the life of Joseph, of what he's been through. Yet the attitude of everything that he's through is still worshiping God. He still is worshiping God. And sometimes in his life, when we are having the mountaintop experience, it is so easy to praise God. But when we are going through the valleys, the rough times, my goodness, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And sometimes it is an effort to worship God. God is here, God is with us. But sometimes we need to make that extra effort to worship God, because our flesh doesn't want to worship God. It doesn't want to worship God. I remember when was the last time my flesh actually went, come on, let's just pray for 2 hours. It doesn't happen. It is a process where we develop. It is a process where we build up. When we say to ourselves, I'm going to discipline my life. And I'm going to actually set up a time where I'm going to pray to God for 10 minutes. And next thing you know, I'm going to pray to God for 20 minutes. I'm going to pray to God for 30 minutes. And as we discipline ourselves, the natural becomes supernatural. And most of the times, we are so linked up with the whole natural movement of our own lives that we forget the supernatural power of God. We forget the supernatural power of God. And I've got 3 points that I want to highlight in this sermon that strongly helped me so far in my Christian journey. And I know it will keep me in my Christian journey as well. There's loads and all that. But these 3 keys... mean a lot to me in my own personal journey with Christ, because I believe that the best is yet to come for each one of us if we don't give up. It's so easy to give up. A word of discouragement comes in and we're like, I don't care about this anymore, I'm walking out. A word of disappointment comes into your life and it's so easy to say, oh God, I don't even care about this anymore, I'm walking out. But I believe God is raising up a generation who will not move by the feelings, but who will move by the Spirit of God and who will stand on the truth of God. Because I believe that Word of God changes lives. I believe that the Spirit of God empowers His children to do the work of God. Amen. And I believe that God is raising up a generation. I firmly believe that, who will not just entertain people, but who will move in the realms of the Spirit. Because God is power. And if we are connected with God, then we move in power. Can I say, if we are connected with Christ, Christ empowers us. Christ empowers us. So my first point is commitment. Commitment. Regardless of the problem, it is important to stick with our commitment. Being moved by sight or by feeling, but by the Spirit of God and the truth of God. The majority of time, you and me, we tend to give up. It's because we are so discouraged with what we are seeing in front of us. And because we are so discouraged with what's happening in our lives. Can I just say, there's 2 things that we need to know. There's facts and there's truth. And there is a difference between facts and truth. Fact is, we will never be able to do it. That's fact. But the truth is, in God, we can. The fact is, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm too young. But the truth is, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But through your example, through your purity, show that you are the carrier of the message of God. The fact is, I'm really struggling in my life. There's certain sin in my life that I'm struggling to let go. But the truth is, more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. So are you getting this? The difference between the fact and the truth. And the word of God is the truth. And God is calling each one of us to not focus too much on the fact. Because what we see becomes, but what we believe becomes the truth. So it's so important for us to not actually be moved by what we see, but be moved by what we believe. And the word of God says that each one of us, He has started a good work, each one of us. And He won't stop till it's completed. Philippians 1:6, He started a good work in you, will carry it on until the day of completion. Until the day of completion. So He is not done with us yet. He's still in the boat. It's important for us to recognize that He's in the boat with us. Most of the time we can be in the same boat as Jesus, not talk to Jesus. And Jesus is sat there looking at us. Daniel, are you going to speak to me anytime? Hello, I'm here. And we're so caught up with the storms. We're like, oh, Jesus, where are you? And Jesus is like, I'm here. Just look around. Look at me. Amen. It is so important for us to look to Jesus. We sing this hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And when we fix our eyes upon Jesus, we become more and more committed to what we are doing in this life with God. Commitment is a big thing in this lives. And not being moved by what we see, but being moved by the truth. Our commitment in our prayer time for our friends and family. Most of the time, we think to ourselves, oh God, I'm praying for my friend for so long, but I'm not seeing any fruit, so I'm not seeing anything happening. Can I just say, keep praying for that friend. Sooner or later, you will see the Spirit of God invading in his life. And when that happens, my goodness, he will be on fire for Jesus. He'll be like, dear, he'll be like, come on, we need to preach the gospel. That's what he's going to be like. And if you've been praying for a certain area in your life for God to change, and it's not been happening, can I just say, the best is yet to come. You are scratching the surface. You are moving. The thing is coming. But it's God's timing, not our timing. Because when things start coming in our own timing, we think to ourselves that it is me who's done that. No. God does the supernatural when we move into the natural. But can I just say, let's just move in the natural, but let's just move in the natural. We do the possible, and God does the impossible. Amen? Let me repeat that again. We do the possible, and God does the impossible. What do we do? If we see someone who is sick, our main responsibility is we pray for them. We do the possible. And we pray for them. Bang! God does the supernatural. God does the impossible. The man gets healed. In the same way, we pray for the people. That's the possible thing we could do. Pray for friends. Pray for our families. Pray for our brothers. Pray for our sisters. That's the possible thing we can do. And bang! God does the impossible. Amen. God does the impossible. But let's just keep our commitment in our prayer. Commitment in the call of God. Commitment in reading the word. Commitment in being in his presence every day. It doesn't happen overnight. We need to discipline ourselves. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. We can't just say, oh, it's going to happen over time. If we don't start now, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And if we want to be that changing generation who will be willing to change the whole culture of this world, then we need to discipline ourselves. Because it starts with disciplining ourselves, waking up in the morning, praying to God, reading the Bible, going to church. It's discipline. And when we discipline ourselves, we see God moving through us and in us. Amen? Amen. Joseph was very committed to the call of God in his life. I mean, look at his story. He's been through some storms in his life. Do you know, his brother sold him into slavery. And next thing you know, he's working in Potiphar's house. And next thing you know, he gets accused of raping Potiphar's wife. Not only that, he gets thrown into the prison and he gets forgotten by this guy that who he interprets his dream. And not only that, he's in prison. And he's thinking to himself, God, what's happening? But regardless of whatever he was going through, he was committed to the call of God in his life. And regardless of everything that was happening in his life, he was willing to give his 100%. 100% giving our best. And if we want the best of God in his lives, we need to give our best to God. And if we want to see the best of God in his life, we need to give our best for God. Amen. Because when we give our best to God, God will give his best to us as well. Amen. So my second point is obedience. Being obedient. Being obedient to the call of God in his lives. It says in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. Nepali ma 1 Samuel 15 ko 22. Says in this. Says, obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to understand that in everything that we do, sacrifice is yes, but more than that, what counts the most is our obedience to the call of God and our obedience to the word of God. We need to obey the word of God. It's very, very important to obey the voice of God and obey the call of God in his lives. Joseph, when he was in the prison, he obeyed the voice of God. He obeyed the voice of God because everywhere he was, he never chose to have wrong attitude towards other people that who did him wrong. And it really is important. Our attitude really does matter when we're waiting for the best of God. Because this is our starting point here. And this is our destiny here. Let me repeat myself again. Hello. Our starting point is here. And our destination is here. And it's not just the starting point that matters. It's not just the finishing point that matters. But it's what happens in between that matters the most. Our attitude in that point of starting point and finishing point. Because in this space, we either grow and go stronger in God, or we either build up hatred towards other people. And it's so important in his life that we have an attitude. And it's so important in his life that we know the heart behind our motives. Because in every action we do, God is more interested in his hearts. In his hearts. Because when God gets hold of our heart, he's God as well. And today, God is raising up a generation who is following after the heart of God. Who is walking after the heart of God. I believe that we need to rise up. We need to rise up because things aren't going to change. Things will stay the same forever. Things aren't going to change. So we need to rise up and take our place in Christ. And boldly proclaim the gospel. Because ultimately it is the proclamation of gospel that changes lives. I don't remember who said it. Preach gospel with action and use words if necessary. And I'm like, how can you preach the gospel if you not use words? We need to preach the gospel through our actions as well. And we need to preach the gospel through our words as well. Because if nobody would have told me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died on that cross and he could set me free from whatever I was caught up in, then nothing would have changed in my life. My life changed because one man took courage and he was bold enough to approach to me and share the gospel with me. Today God is looking for men and women of God who will take courage, who will stand up, that one man and woman of God who will go out and who will preach the gospel boldly. It takes one man to change community. It takes one man to change the nation. It does. And if we are not standing up to that place, and if we're not taking our place in Christ and proclaiming the gospel, nothing's going to change. My days, nothing's going to change. I don't need to tell you about the news. You flick on the telly, you see the news. I mean, the world is falling apart. World is falling apart. And the only hope is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only hope. Nothing's going to change their life. Nothing will help them to make this world a better place until they give Jesus the first place in their lives. And the only way it's going to happen is through you and me. And the only way that's going to happen is if we are obedient to the call of God in his lives. Can I just say, God's calling each one of us to be the ministers of the gospel. You don't need a platform to preach the gospel. Andrew keeps on sharing this story, and I love it, like of how he goes to the supermarket and he engages in this conversation with a person who's doing a thing on the tilt. And like, that's just brilliant. I've been with this man and he just shares the gospel with people without even like getting heavy or anything. It's natural. And the reason it's become natural is because he's obedient to the call of God in his life. And when we become obedient to the call of God in his life, my dear, can I just say to you, we become bold and courageous. We do. We become bold and courageous when we obey the voice of God in His lives. When we are unable to change our circumstances, obedient to God changes our perspective. It changes our whole understanding, our perspective. You know, spending time with Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus, Jesus draws His greatness within each one of us. He that is living in the world is weak. We're weak. But He that is living within us is great. He's great. We have got a great, big God. Amen. The amount of time we look at the mountain and we say, oh God, that is too big. And when we say the word of God, we begin to like, God, that is so small. Yeah. It changes our perspective. It changes the way we look at stuff. We like, for me, it's all right. For me, looking at my assignments when I was doing my assignments and all that, to me, that overwhelms me. It does. When I've got a pile load of stuff and I'm like, oh God, how do I get through this? And obviously I obey the voice of God. God's like, God, you can do it. But unless I step into that obedience to God and I work through it, nothing's going to change. The assignment's not going to do itself. I need to put an effort into it. And in the same way, all of us, we know God loves us. All of us, we know that God is calling each one of us to be the ministers of the poor. Yes, that is true. And that is great. Come on. It is great. All of us, we're saved. And all of us, we are new creations in Christ. And it is great. But God's like, when are you going to step up now? Come on. Come on. Dan, when are you going to step up? Dan, you know now. You know my word. But are you going to actually step out of the boat? Can I just say, it wasn't fasting. It wasn't prayer or anything that took Peter out of the boat and made him walk on the water. It was him being obedient to the voice of Jesus that made him walk on the water. And today, God is calling each one of us to walk on the water. But that comes through us being obedient to His word and to His voice. Amen. Amen. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Go. That is the Great Commission. Go. Nothing else. It just says, go and make disciples of all men. Just go. The Bible tells us, go, 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 go. And we're there, God, help us. And God saying, go, 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 go. And I believe that we are going to be a church that will go. I firmly believe that. I believe that. And I know that is the heart of Andrew as well. Every time he preaches the message, he just stirs me. His message is more like, go, 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 go. And yes, that's what we need. We need to be goers, amen. We need to be not only the hearers of the word, we need to be doers of the word. And if we are the doers of the word of God says, go. The word of God says, go. And God is calling each one of us to go. And go, it's not like leave the church or anything like that. But go means to go and preach the gospel, to go out and lay your hands on the sick and seeing as sick people being healed. Because God can, amen. Let me say that again. God is able. I don't think we are listening to this. God is able. God can do the impossible when we move in the things that are possible. God is a powerful God. Let's not belittle God. Let's not just put God in a little box saying this is what God looks like. No. God is a God. God is a big God. Lately, I'm being more and more challenged every day. I look around and I see a dying generation. Me and Martin, we walk around town of Doncaster and it just hurts me. It breaks me. Because I know people are dying. People are dying. They've got no hope. And you try to tell them that you are dying and they've got this disease called sin that they are not willing to admit that they are dying because of us pride. Us men, we've got this pride. This ego. And it's so big that it kills us, eats us. And it hurts me to see them suffer. Teen Challenge, more and more I'm working in Teen Challenge. It's breaking my heart because we talk to people who are so desperate, who are so lost. And we talk to them, they start crying. Because they are so desperate for a change, but they are powerless to change. And the only way they're going to change is we spend time in the presence of God so that we can take the presence of God with us to them. If we experience the presence of God ourselves, we cannot change them. We cannot change them, but Jesus can. If we don't know the word, how can we tell people the word? If we don't know him, how can we tell people about him? It is so important for us to take this thing seriously. It is. It is not just a Sunday service. It is more than that. Life. It is about life and death. Life is but a vapor. Today we live, tomorrow we die. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we need to go out there. It's about souls. It's about souls. Soul is more important than the possession. The whole world is so caught up in possession, big cars, big future, this, big platform, whatever that looks like. But what good is it for a man to gain the world, yet lose his own soul? What gain is it for me to get everything, but lose my own soul? What good is it for us to gain the whole world, beach and everything, yet not save our own soul? And Jesus Christ is the honor for this dying generation. He is the only one. He is the only one, nothing else. We can make loads of different how to build a big platform, how to whatever. But if people are not knowing who Jesus Christ is, then we're failing miserably as ministers of the gospel. We are. We have got something that we can offer to the giant dying generation, and it is the gospel, the news, Jesus Christ himself. He lives within each one of us. You wanna accept that or not, but that is the truth. He lives within each one of us, and our responsibility to spend time with him more, so that will stir our faith, so that will stir a passion more. Because if we back up now, then there is no hope for this world. There isn't. Because we are the hope for this world, for them to hear the gospel. And if we back off from our responsibility in my days, there is no hope for this nation. There is no hope for any nation. Christ is the only healer. Christ is the only restorer. Christ is the only one that can heal a person's wound, that can change a person's life, that can stop the war from happening. Christ is the only one. Amen. It says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We will fear no evil. Can I just encourage you guys that Christianity isn't always a happy life. We've got the joy and peace in us, but we go through some serious stuff, don't we? We go through some serious stuff. It's not easy. We will face oppositions. We will face struggles. We will face lots of trials. And it's coming this way. And it is coming this way, trust me when I say that. I really do feel that there's going to be some serious persecution going on in the future. And that's why God is calling each one of us to rise up and take our stands in Christ right now, so that we prepare ourselves and make ourselves more and more stronger in Christ. Because we need strong men and women of God. I believe that I'm looking at some strong, real men and women of God who are willing to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. I believe that firmly. And I believe that God is raising up an army. An army. Not normal people, but raising up an army that will be willing to go out there and just reach out to people. Just go and reach out to people. I really do believe that. And in the same way, obedience is the key in his life. It was actually obedience of Andrew and Grace that, because of their obedience 17 years ago, we are sitting here today. And because of your obedience today, a few years from now, there will be loads of people who will be able to know Jesus Christ because of your obedience to the voice of God. One life who is completely connected and sold out for Jesus. It is that can change the world. That can change the world. My third point and my last point is staying teachable. Staying teachable. It is a call to grow. Not staying where we are, but growing. When we wait for the best of God in his lives, God is expecting each one to grow. And sometimes we don't grow because we don't allow God to help us to grow. Because men, they're not going to help you to grow. Man can show you the way to grow, but ultimately, it's us spending time in the presence of God that will make us grow spiritually, and but most of all, spiritually. And God is calling each one of us to grow. It says in Proverbs 2:1-5, Hitopades dui ekdekipach. Proverbs 2:1-5, and he says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning you to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And it's the very first point, accept my words and store up my commands within you. Storing up his commands within us. I think like what God's been challenging me lately is to recite the word of God so that I know the word of God from my heart. So that when I quote scriptures, I can just quote it without looking in the Bible. Because it's so important for us to like have that self-discipline where we're spending time in the word of God. And it's so important for us to stay teachable as well. And the greatest thing that Bible college taught me so far is staying teachable. I've been in Bible college for 2 years, and more I'm realizing how little I know of the word and how much I need to stay teachable for the rest of my lives. Can I just say, leaders are learners. And ministers of the gospel should stay learners for the rest of their lives. And if we want to preach the gospel, and I know it's not the case of if we, when we preach the gospel, we need to listen to the voice of God and we need to know the word of God. Because trust me, there will be times where we will get challenged and people will quote the scriptures from the word of God. And that's important for each one of us to really, really discipline ourselves and really, really look into the word of God and learn from it. I had this encounter with a Muslim man in the gym. And guess what? Where was it? Sauna. Very true. Come on. You know it very well now. It was in the sauna. So I was there. So it was in the sauna. And whilst I was there, this guy heard about me, that I've been preaching the gospel in the sauna. So as he heard my name, he just like questioned me straight away. Oh, so you're a Christian? And I went, yes. He knew about me. He had heard about me because everyone were talking about me, saying, oh, we've got this Asian kid and he's been sharing the gospel and all that. So I'm famous in the sauna now, you know. Everybody knows me. I'm like the regular customer there now. You know, this good skin doesn't come on its own. Sauna, treatment. No. No. So, yeah. So I started talking to this guy. And he was like, oh, with all due respect, my brother. This was him. With all due respect, my brother. If there was a man who should be given the title to be the Son of God, shouldn't that be Adam? Because Jesus was born out of a virgin. It was a human birth. But Adam was a supernatural birth. God himself made him. So shouldn't it be that Adam should be the Son of God and Jesus just a prophet? And this was a Muslim man. So he started quoting scriptures from the Bible to me. And he started quoting Philippians 2. And Philippians 2 is my favorite book of the Bible. So I know Philippians 2. I don't know everything, but I know a little bit of Philippians 2. And he started quoting the scriptures at me. And I was like, oh, hold on a minute. You missed out that verse, mate. So I started like quoting the scriptures at him as well. And by the end of our conversations, I was able to convince him that Jesus was the Son of God. And to be honest with you, that was the greatest challenge for me because it shook me. It ditched me and it challenged me a lot. I was like, my days, if I wouldn't have known that scripture at that time. And that's why God is challenging each one of us to meditate and to recite and to understand the word of God as it is. Because when we don't know the word of God, it can shake our faith. It can make us doubt. But when we know of God, it gives us more passion to preach the gospel. It gives us more strength to carry on. Amen. It gives us more strength to carry on. We know the word of God because the fact won't determine our truth. The fact of I'm not able to do this won't determine the truth of with God I am and I can. And we need to understand that the truth of God is the only thing that sets us free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it is the truth that sets us free. So we need to learn to stay teachable for the rest of our lives. And when we learn to stay teachable for the rest of our lives, we grow. Can I just give you this illustration? A baby, when it's born, like we feed it like some baby food, don't we? So we give the baby some baby food. And wouldn't it be awkward if we have a 40 years old guy eating baby food? You'd be like, whoa, what's happening here? In the same way, there is a time when we used to eat baby food. But now God's calling us to chew some meat, some steak. God's calling us to chew some steak. And I believe God wants to make each one of us strong in everything that we're doing and help us to grow. Amen. And the only thing that's going to stop us from learning more is our pride. Pride is a nasty, nasty thing. I know more. Look at him. No. I need to stay teachable for the rest of my life. I need to challenge myself to stay teachable for the rest of my life. I learn every day from Andrew. I learn every day from Martin, Grace. And I learn every day from each one of you guys. Because I need to humble myself. I need to stay teachable for the rest of his lives. And in the same way, we need to humble. And we need to guard ourselves from letting that pride invade our lives. And making us prideful men and prideful women. Trust me, it is more good. It is more better to be humble than prideful. It says in Philippians 2. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself, how much should we need to humble ourselves? Amen. It is very important for us to humble ourselves, amen? Because in us humbling ourselves, we're preparing ourselves for the best of God that is yet to come. So I want to leave you with these three things again. We started with the scripture where we said, do not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest. Number one, commitment. Let us not be weary in being committed to the call of God, because in due season we will reap a harvest. Number two, let us not be weary in being obedient to the call of God, because in due season we will reap a harvest. Number three, let us not be weary in staying teachable for the rest of our lives, because in due season we will reap a harvest. So I just want to leave you with this. Keep holding on to God. Holding on to God. Don't let go of his hands. Because it wasn't the hand of man that pulled Jesus out of the water. It was the hand of God that pulled Jesus out of water. And God will bring men into those lives that will encourage us, that will challenge us, that will help us to grow. And God himself will help us to grow. Amen. Amen. Let me just pray for you. Father God, Father God, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. God, we thank you that the best is yet to come. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in us waiting, Lord, for that best, Lord, that you have got in store for us, Lord. We are growing every day, and you are challenging us, Lord, and you are making us, you are shaping us, you are holding us each and every day, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even though, Lord, we grow through the valley of shadow of death, Lord, you are with us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that when we go through the storms, Lord, you are there with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even though it is hard, Lord, you are strengthening us each and every day. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for all the men and women of God, Lord, in this place, Lord, that you strengthen them, Lord, that you will stir, Lord, the passion within them, Lord, to be, Lord, the ministers of the gospel. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to have that urgency within this heart, Lord, for this dying generation. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will just empower us, each one of us, Lord, and use us, Lord, to bring your kingdom here on earth. God, I pray, Lord, for each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you guys.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Good word. Be ready. Be instant in season and out of season. Just be ready. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit. It's about listening to what God wants to say to you. Friday night, we had 15 guys, young people, in church. And they were worshipping the Lord. And Helen was sharing with them. And then I was asked if I had anything to share. And the Lord had just laid something on my heart to share with these young people. And then afterwards, we started to pray for them. And I think four or five of them were absolutely drunk in the Spirit of God. They were legless, weren't they, Sydney? Hmm? Huh? They couldn't stand up. And the blessing of God was just coming and flowing into their lives. And young Grace was sat over there. As I was sharing, the Lord said to me, He said, I want you to give Grace a word. Remember? And I'm preaching. It's like, you know, I could turn around and say, Lord, I'm busy. You know, I'm going to preach this. But you listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And they say, okay, Lord. And so I just went across and just took hold of her hand and began to tell her what the Lord wanted to her to hear. And then she said to me afterwards, after church service, she said, whilst you were preaching, I said to the Lord, get Andrew to tell me something personal. Wow. She'd asked Jesus to talk to me so that I would talk to her on behalf of Jesus. And Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, gave me something to tell her. It was bang on, weren't it? God began to move. And so all the time, as we're out and about, whether we're in church, out of church, we need to be listening to what the Lord's saying to us. Instant in season and out of season, you're right. And we have the truth. The truth will set people free. And whilst he was preaching, a couple of scriptures came to my mind. And in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, it says, my son, give attention. Mom, give attention to my word. Incline your ear. Turn your ear to the Word of God. Listen. Listen. Attention. How was you being in the army when it was attention? Charles could probably do it better than me, actually. The old sergeant major. You know. Sir, and that's it. Yeah, sir. And it's like, don't move unless he tells you, you know, and he's got your attention. God wants your attention. He wants you sharp. Soldiers are trained to be sharp, aren't they? Not like that, Charles. And they're on it, ready, you know. And they wait for this command. They're there, waiting. And David and Solomon and the psalmist in Proverbs is saying, give attention to the word of God. Incline your ear. Don't let these words part from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, in the midst of your spirit. For these words are life to those who find them. And they are health to this body. They're health to the flesh. The Word of God is not just for the spirit, but it's for the flesh. And it strengthens us and encourages us. And so we need to give attention. And one other one that came is in Proverbs chapter 6. I often think about this one. And verse 9. It says, well, verse 10 is better, really. Verse 10, it leads on into verse 10. A little slumber. A little sleep. A little folding of the arms, you know. Just, you know, it's a little bit like this, really. A A little slumber. Little sleep. Little bit of folding of the arms. The Bible doesn't stop there. It says, and then poverty. Poverty comes. It begins to take from you, saps the very life out of you. We need to be alert. We need to be ready. We need to have this word of God in us. God is doing things mightily. Today we've had a young person in church, a new young lady. Amen. Yeah, come on. She's heard the call, she's had to go. I don't know if she's given her life to Jesus yet. You guys know her, I suppose. But if she hasn't, she's long far away from it. Amen. Yeah? Amen. Come on, agree with me.
Yeah.
What is it? Donkeys nod, people speak. I love it. I love these young people. I really do. She's going to give her life to Jesus. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. You see, there's power in the words that we speak. It changes circumstances. It changes situations. Speaking to that man in that sauna, with all the bubbles around, you know. Sweating and perspiring under heavy, you know. But that word was working. And changing his thinking.
Yes.
Jesus is more than a prophet. He is the second Adam. And he is the very Son of the living God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. And it is because of him that we live and breathe and who we are now, and we are being changed into his very image. Amen. So praise his wonderful name. It's a good word today, an excellent word. Every one of us needs to be involved. Every one of us needs to be partakers of this, because I'll tell you this, you will see and you will receive blessings from God by being involved and being part of what God is doing in intake.
Amen. Amen.
That's a truth.
Amen.
No man putting his hand to the plow will lose out. It's only if you put your hand to the plow and you suddenly think, oh, the world looks nice today, looks good. I'll just leave it for a bit. And the next thing you know, you sink into the mire. And then you're crying out to somebody, get me. And it's too late. It's too late. Today, not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day when the captives are set free. Today is the day. And this is your day. This is your day. Your day. Grab hold of it. With both hands. Each day. Run with the vision. Run with it. It's heavy, this. Run it. Hallelujah. Light the torch. Run with it. Declare the good news. Jesus is alive. He's risen. He's ascended. He's glorified. Hallelujah. Give him praise. That's the Jesus. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. Are you going to serve him with everything you have got? Because he gave everything that he had so that you can be saved, so you can be redeemed from eternal damnation.
Amen.
Are you going to be like the ant and get moving? Or are you going to be like the sluggard who just sits and watches everybody else go by and do it and think, let him get on with it. I'm going to heaven, for sure you are. You may die before your time's up. You need to be involved. God needs you involved. That's why he saved you. That's why he's given you life. That's why he's given you the word of God. You know, Daniel and Martin, as you talk to the guys on the street, it breaks your heart to see them. And they think, they even tell you, I'm fine. Don't they? I'm fine. They stink. Their teeth are rotten. Their mouths. Their bodies are rotting. And they say, I'm doing okay. How Satan can blind their eyes. How Satan has deceived them. Robbed them of pure joy and has robbed them of the riches of God. Don't be a believer half-heartedly. Get in the fire and get on fire for God. Press in. Be available for the things of the kingdom. I'm just so thrilled with these young people. They inspire me. They just give me more energy. Yeah. I'm still young, aren't I?
Yeah.
Alex, eh? You reckon? Yeah. I'm all fired. Me burn. I'm ready to go, aren't I, Sydney? Huh? Can you keep up? Can you keep up, would you reckon? Yeah? So I want people that are going to go for it in Jermaine. Be on fire for Jesus. Let the Spirit of God move in our lives in such a wonderful way. The presence of God has been here today and he's still here. And he's still about to do a work. I'm just going to say, if there's any one of you needing prayer, then just come out right now. You know, if you've grown cold in your heart, and you just want a fresh touch from God, then come out. If you need healing, come out. If you need a refilling with the Holy Spirit, come out. We're just going to lay hands on people in Jesus' name. And we just ask the Lord to move. We're going to ask the Lord to move in power. We're going to ask the Lord to be amongst us in a more powerful way. I'm just going to pray that God will be moved. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, those of you that need prayer, just stay focused and pray. Hallelujah. Just stay focused and pray. Amen. Just tell Nepalese to stay for some prayer while we're praying. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Savior. Stay focused and pray. Just lift up and just Lift your hands before the Lord and just begin to worship Him. Just give Him praise and glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done. Oh, God.